Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. I'm Seth.
And I'm Carly.
And we are here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Carly, what have you been up to lately?
You know what? I am just living for all this halfway to Halloween news. I got my, if you were watching us, I have my Mickey Bat hat on that came out last August. It was like such a fun collection. So I've just been, you know, reeling in the news. I love Halloween. I don't want to rush summer. I know that's bad to rush time, but it's coming and it's coming soon because the festivities are once again coming back in August. So we have Oogie Boogie coming back earlier than ever, August 25th, as opposed to the usual September. So it's time to get those plans in order.
As someone with a mid-August birthday, I never ever thought that I'd be seeing Halloween celebrations before my birthday.
Right. It's almost like when kids have their birthdays around like Christmas and it just gets pushed to the side for the holiday. It's like,
exactly.
Forget your birthday. It's Halloween. Yep.
Well, you're celebrating Halloween already. I'm still stuck on May the 4th be with you. I did not go to the park. I contemplated going to Hollywood Studios on May the 4th, but instead I sat home and watched the finale of The Bad Batch. So I thought that was more satisfying than fighting the crowds.
If you saw the footage of people that were there, it looked quite busy. Yes. So you may have dodged a bullet. Galaxy Edge will be there probably past our time. So you have more copious amount of time to visit.
But I did have a fun adventure out at Disney last week. I got to be among some select media, which also included Matt and Andy from Attractions Magazine, that we got to preview the new Page to Stage VIP tour, backstage look at Cirque du Soleil's Drawn to Life. If you know all the other Cirques in like Las Vegas, they all have VIP experiences, but this is the first time they've had a permanent VIP tour. And it's great. It takes place after the second performance on the weekends. And so you do not get to see something that we did. We went in before the show and we got to see them rehearsing on stage. And that will not be part of the normal tour, but that was amazing getting to see the performers working out their routine. We actually got to see two routines, the Big Wheel of Death and the Finale Swings, both going on at the exact same time, which never happens during the show. So that was crazy. The pencil was there. We actually got to see all of the props. We got to meet a couple of the performers. We got to meet two of the performers who have been there since opening day.
Wow.
Walk backstage, see the costumes, see the rehearsal rooms. But the really amazing part is getting to walk behind the stage and then underneath the stage and seeing all the lifts that are used to manipulate the puppets, to bring the set pieces in and out, seeing how they fly, even costumes, some of the giant costumes like the Blue Fairy girls on the unicycles. Their costumes are so big that they can't take them off stage, so they have to hook them up and fly them up into the ceiling to put them away. And the way they have these tracking dots on everything, so that the projection mapping, if they put a prop off a few inches, you know, or the actors have them on their costumes too. So like the scene with the big canvases that they project animated characters onto, the projectors can track exactly where they are. So if they're off a little bit, it adjusts the image to match. It's just amazing technology. And if you want to do it yourself, for I think $285, you get premium seating at the show, you get snacks, you get a meet and greet, and you get the tour, which,
that's really,
you know,
cool,
a regular seat starts at $75. I think these premium seats went for like $200 before the tour. So I would say that, you know, if you are a Cirque du Soleil fan, or if you're a fan of technical theater, the tour was a little over 45 minutes, and I felt like they did a great job of, you know, really making us feel like we were VIPs. So look for coverage of that on our website and check it out if you're interested.
Very cool. I also saw that our publisher, Matt, was at the Castaway Key preview.
Yes, he was originally going to send me to that and also to the preview of the new Fort Wilderness Cabins.
Yes, but there was
his travel plans changed, and actually, thankfully, he took those off my hands because I had a lot of writing to do on my book this week. So, Matt's got, there's videos I know going up of both the Castaway Key and the video up of the new cabins on our YouTube channel.
Yes, I loved, he posted a reel on attractions. He asked the creative team behind Castaway, is it Castaway Key or
K? Or K, yes. And if you're Bahamian, you better say Key, not K.
Correct. And it's like, I'm really glad he posted that because I always second guess myself. Is it K or Key? But now I will forever know. So definitely check that out.
And it's also conch, not conch.
Conch. Yeah. It's the hard hitting journalism that we all need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, we are going to, without any further ado, jump right into the news in the queue. First off, we have a report out of Disneyland Resort from our show producer, Jeff DePauly, about Pixar Fest, which has returned to Disneyland for the first time since 2018. And it's back bigger and better than ever.
Yes, I got to hang out a little bit with him at the opening for that. It was a two-day event. Did a great job recapping. It's a lot. I said this, I believe, last week. It is truly like an after-hours event that you pay for, but not because it's included. And there's more to do than an after-hours event. I was in shock, blown away. I love Pixar, but you have to appreciate the amount of new stuff that it brought to the park. Yeah. A few things. You see a lot of the pieces that were added to the park, like banners and whatnot. It all has a very 1964 World's Fair. Yeah.
If you're a fan of Raleigh Crump's Tower of the Four Winds, that's obviously what they're drawing inspiration from here. They've got one in the Esplanade and then one inside each park to use as a photo op.
It's so cool to walk around and see those, and each one is a different character. He also points out there is a Pixar Playtime, which is in the Fantasyland Theater. This activation is quite amazing. It's a lot going on at one time. Mm-hmm. It's character meet and greets, photo op. There's a stage show with a ton of Pixar characters. It reminded me of the Pixar Disney cruises. And they actually come into the audience for a dance party. So there was like Frozen, like twirling people. This was amazing. And of course, Sadness is in there, you know, up to her old shenanigans of trying to dance. There's, you know, Guinevere from Onward. We have Carl. It was just so cool. Like, I could have spent hours in there. There was like craft stations from Luca. There's truly a lot. And that's just one little piece of everything that the festival is about.
I personally was really sad when I heard that the Tale of the Lion King show was being evicted out of the Fantasyland there, because I really think that was a great show, great cast. But I'm glad this is more than just, you know, them throwing a meet and greet on that stage and a couple of banners. It really, I mean, again, it looks like they put a lot more effort into this than they did, say, the Walt Disney World 50th anniversary.
100%. I mean, we were all, that was exactly what everyone that I was with kept saying the 2 days that we were doing it. We're like, this is more than the 50th. I mean, just in that Fantasyland Theater, there are so many characters. They're truly doing it up. I loved it. I also wrote a piece for Attractions about the food, because there's dozens of dishes like everywhere, specialty that are all themed. And then come this week, we're going to have kind of like a Pixar food festival. And that's going to be little marketplaces around DCA that are themed. There's a Luca one, Coco, et cetera. I mean, they're really kind of like pulling out all the stops. And this runs through August, which is kind of a long time, but they're also doing a lot for something that's kind of short.
I'm wondering where exactly those festival booths are going to be set up to not interfere with the parade route, because that typically goes right through that performance corridor.
Yeah, I'm really curious.
Did you get to see the new parade?
I did. I loved it. You have Fortown in it, which was so exciting. The Luca float was so good. But on top of it, the song Better Together is so catchy that I'm still singing it. And it's been like a week and a half since I saw it. So definitely catch that. The route kind of goes the same as many of the other parades in DCA. I stood in front of Voyage of the Little Mermaid. It was a perfect spot. Does get busy, though, because, you know, it's a new parade.
Yeah. And are they running it twice a day?
I believe it's twice. Yeah.
I think so always a good tip is to watch the second running of any parade. And then the other big entertainment is the fireworks.
Yeah.
Which is an updated version of the Together Forever Pixar Nighttime Spectacular that debuted a few years ago. And they've added in some of the characters from newer films.
Yeah, absolutely. So the last time we had this was 2018. So if you just think about all the new Pixar movies we've had since then, they're added in. Technology has also evolved in the, 6 years? So it's kind of a little bit more technologically advanced. It's very good.
But does Buzz Lightyear still fly around?
Yes, correct. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, that's here. That was my favorite part of that.
Yes. So they did a great job. If you're going, you gotta do Pixar Fest. So much fun. Lots of good eats. Just a good time.
Awesome. Well, you've got Jeff's entire article is up. Carly's got an article up. Lots of stuff on our YouTube channel. And of course, MEI and Mouse Fan Travel can help you get out there between now and when it ends on August 4th. Next up, we're going a little further. We're going to Hong Kong Disneyland, where they have a Marvel season of superheroes now underway with a live stage show, a nighttime drone show, and some new food and merchandise.
Yes. Another week, another drone show.
Exactly. I feel like that's all we talk about anymore. This event kicked off in Hong Kong Disneyland back in late April, and it's going to run through June 10th. And it's mostly centered in their Tomorrowland, which is about half Marvel themed. You've got the Iron Man ride there and the Ant-Man and the Wasp ride there. And right now there is a stage show called Find Your Superpower Battle for Stark Expo, and it includes a lineup of superheroes like Iron Man and Thor and Ant-Man and the Wasp and Captain Marvel fighting against Armin Zola and Hydra. And I swear to God, we destroyed them in like the second Avengers movie. Like, are we still dealing with these folks?
Yes.
Like, I feel like it was 10 years ago since we got rid of them in the movies, but they're still hanging around in Hong Kong. And in addition to the stage show, they also have the a nighttime drone show involving Iron Man, Thor, and other Marvel superheroes forming their symbols in the sky over Tomorrowland.
Very cool. And of course, merchandise. How could we not have merchandise? So they are doing it up. There's apparel, totes, toys, kind of pretty much you name it. With the highlight being this customizable shield agent ID, which sounds really fun, like a little easy souvenir to carry around, super personal. I think that's what I would get.
Yes, absolutely. And there's also food to fuel up. The Starliner Diner there in Hong Kong, Disneyland, they've always had like a Hulk burger and some other Marvel themed food, but now they're going all out with an Iron Man burger combo, an Avengers sipper, a quantum hot dog, and a hulked out churro.
Yes.
Because you got to have a green churro. Yeah.
So cool. Yeah.
They've also got a new Spider-Man popcorn bucket where the face rotates to show three different Spider-Man costumes. And if you're outside the park, you can stop by the Hong Kong Disneyland Hotel's Enchanted Garden restaurant for some Groot themed desserts.
Adorable. And then what I want to go to is the Marvel theme bar, the Archivist, which is at Disney Hollywood Hotel.
Yes, I stopped in there when I was there, and it's really cool. It's not like super heavy Marvel themed, it's subtle, but they've got these display cases with different, you know, movie prop quality artifacts like the Infinity Gauntlet and the Doctor Strange's Eye of Agamemnon. Is that? I don't know. Can never pronounce these things. But yeah, that's a great bar. And they've even got in that same hotel some Marvel themed rooms starting yes. on August 9th. There's going to be rooms with a depiction of the Quinjet and Marvel superheroes themed murals on the wall. And you can book those starting on May 10th, just a few days yes. from now.
And what I think I would do if I was staying there now is I would do the group in room add on that you yes. can do.
Yeah,
a lot of hotels do and cruises.
Yes, yeah, you can always get these packages where they'll decorate your rooms with Mickey and Minnie or something. But this is the first time I've seen one with Groot, and there's this plush sleeping Groot pillow that looks yes. really adorable, and Groot Mickey ears, and there's also a it also looks like they've got some special Black Panther swag that you can purchase.
Yeah,
if you want to check out. This vicariously, because Hong Kong is a long plane flight away for most of us. We've already got video up on our YouTube channel of the Find Your Superpower show. I got to say, it's an impressive number of characters that they have up on stage at once. Mm-hmm. But considering that this is in Hong Kong, which is like home to some of the best, stunt fighters in the world, the stunt fight choreography is a little lame. So you watch it yourself and see what you
think. Yes. I'll have to see that.
All right. And I also wrote a first time visitor's guide to visiting Hong Kong Disneyland after my trip. You can check that out, but I would definitely suggest finding a good travel agent like MEI to help get you there, because it's a lot to plan.
So. Yep.
Next up, we're hopping over to Epic Universe, because Universal has given us another huge dump of information all about Super Nintendo World opening up in 2025.
Yes, I love how they're just kind of rolling these announcements out. This is what I was definitely second most excited for after, all the monsters. I'm excited that we finally officially know the details of what we can expect. Attractions.
And let's be honest, this is the land that we probably already knew the most about, simply because there's already versions of it existing in Japan and in Hollywood. But now we have all the official confirmation that this is the biggest and bestest version of Super Nintendo World anywhere. It's going to be divided into two parts, Super Mario Land, which is kind of the Mushroom Kingdom from the mm-hmm. Super Mario games. And then you've got Donkey Kong Country, which is going to be home to the Minecart Madness ride, which I think is going to be the ride that's going to attract the most interest, because the idea of a roller coaster that goes off the tracks is, that gets people's attention, even if they're not into theme parks.
Oh yeah. And definitely recommend looking at the video that's kind mm-hmm. of like the simulated walkthrough, because it helps you understand how Donkey Kong really feels like a whole nother land, the way it's like the entrance to it is tucked in a back area, and then you enter kind of a land within a land. So definitely check that out, because it really kind of helped me visualize what to expect.
They've done a great kind of fly through rendering mm-hmm. of it. But basically, this is kind of unique. I don't know of another theme park land, at least in the United States, where you're going to enter into it up an escalator. You're going to go straight through this green warp pipe that'll bring you up to the second level of the land when you enter it. And so you're going to have this great kind of bird's eye view looking out over everything in the Mushroom Kingdom. And then as you can see, as you descend down to ground level, there's then a pathway there you can follow. And there's a second portal into Donkey Kong Country. So they've got two different looks, two different feels, and it's almost like having two different lands attached to each other.
Absolutely. But of course, the attractions are going to be the biggest part of it all. Mm-hmm. We know Mario Kart Bowser's Challenge.
Yeah, we've talked plenty of that, because we've both been on that out in California. Fantastic ride. And mm-hmm. It looks like we are getting an identical clone of it here. Minecart Madness, the Donkey Kong roller coaster, like we mentioned, this is the one that looks like it is jumping off of the tracks, flying through the air, because it's got a special hidden track underneath the fake track that guests see to create the illusion of being out of control But it's still, it's a fairly low height requirement. I think it's only like 32 or 34 inches. It's a pretty low height requirement. So it's not, it's going to be visually thrilling, but it's also going to be kind of a family ride that everyone can ride. I think this is one that's going to get really long lines because, you know, the version in Japan was supposed to open this spring and they pushed it back to late in the year to, I think, to kind of work on reliability and capacity issues. I think this is one that people are going to really want to ride. And at least it does look like it is going to have a single rider line, at least from the rendering. So that's good.
This is going to be the Hagrid's 2.0 that even years later, like I'd like
still to have it. A long wait. Yep.
It's not in my cards all the time.
Yep. And then finally, we've got Yoshi's Adventure. This is one we've also seen in Japan already. And this is kind of a slow moving Omnimover ride. It's definitely a kiddie ride, but you get great views of the land. And it's also interactive. There's little egg buttons that when you see an egg, you push the button with the color that matches. And then you get a little, you know, attaboy at the end. The rides are really only a small portion of what there is to do. And I am super excited about being able to take my power-up band that I bought in California and pretty much exhausted everything that there is to do there. We're going to have a lot more space, a lot more blocks to punch, a lot more activities. We're having, there are certain activities that you can really only do if you purchase one of these power-up bands. And there's one that isn't found at all in California that we're going to have here. And then it's really, you know, I know the idea of an upcharge just like makes people's skin crawl, but it's actually, it's worth it. If nothing else, just to get to play the Bowser Jr. Shadow Showdown. Mm-hmm. It's this cooperative augmented reality game that is really a lot of fun. It's a great workout and you can only do it after you unlock a certain number of keys with your power-up band. And those power-up bands are going to sell. Everyone's going to want a power-up band.
I mean, here's the thing. It's very hard to explain all these like games, key challenges that we call them. But to me, that's what makes the land in Hollywood.
100%.
All the time. Sometimes I ride Mario Kart. Sometimes I don't because the challenges are what makes it really fun. And I'm not a gamer or anything like that. But this is what makes it special and sets it apart. And like you said, I'm excited to have room. So more room, it's going to be more punches and little games and whatnot. So I can't wait to see how that plays out.
You know, I think we saw this kind of gamification of interactivity in theme parks kind of kick off with the wands in the Wizarding World, which were great the first time you try and like, oh my God, I can make something happen. And then it's just the same thing every time and it's never really grown or expanded. Now we're going to see that start to change soon. But then Disney had the data pads for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which wasn't really tactile or physical. You know, you're kind of walking around tapping on your phone, and that's not really what you want to do in a theme park. Mm-hmm. And I think that these power up bands hit the real sweet spot where it's interactive, it's got depth to it. You can track it on your phone, but you're not stuck looking at your phone while you're using it. I can't recommend it highly enough. Buy your power up band. If you're going to go to the park, buy a power up band.
Yes.
The other thing they've given us a little more info on is the dining. We know that Toadstool Cafe is coming with a very similar menu that it has in Hollywood. I'll say the food is all really cute and fairly tasty, but incredibly slow service, incredibly busy, just getting a you know, a virtual queue reservation to walk in the door is a hassle. And once you do, you always wait at least a half an hour just to place your order. I would say look instead at the snack stands. They're going to have a Yoshi snack stand, Turbo Boost treats, and then maybe go back out into the central hub to get some real food.
I love going there, but it's difficult.
Every time it like takes an hour or two out of my day just to try to eat a Toadstool. So another thing that will probably have long lines is meeting the characters. They have really great character costumes with kind of articulated faces, and there's exclusive power-up blocks that you can only punch if you wait in line for a meet and greet. So be prepared to queue for that. And of course, merch is coming. They're going to have 1UP Factory and Mario Motors, as well as the Nintendo Superstar Store say that five times fast, located in the Celestial Park hub.
Yes. I'm overwhelmed. The merchandise is so good in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So I expect that and then some in our version.
Yeah. Well, if you want to catch up on everything Super Nintendo World, we've got tons of videos of Mario Kart ride, Yoshi's Adventure ride, the Power Up Band experiences, and tons more Epic Universe coverage. Be prepared to hear lots more about Epic Universe in the coming months as we approach 2025.
So excited.
All right. And in more Universal news, hopping out to Hollywood, Fast and Furious Hollywood Drift is now officially confirmed as the name of the rotating roller coaster that's going to open in Universal Studios Hollywood in 2026. I was hoping this one would make it around for 2025. I put it in my book, but I guess I don't need to have it there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the most shocking part of this announcement. I totally was banking on end of
2025. Because they seem to be quite far along installing footers and stuff. And we know quick Universal builds things, but this is also being built on the side of a mountain in California, not Florida. California is a lot more strict building codes, and also they are trying so hard not to annoy their neighbors. They have been doing everything from like designing sound barriers and designing the cars to rotate so people scream away from the local houses. So I'm sure that probably also factors into the slower build time for this.
Yes, I mean, it really feels like they started plowing the side of that mountain a long time ago. But I mean, if you think about all these restraints and what they have to go through to get this, but regardless, we're getting the first outdoor high-speed coaster at the park. This is a game changer. Super Nintendo World was already a game changer, and they have the annoyance of no area footage to work with.
There is no space in that park. So the way that they are weaving this in and around the giant escalator that takes you down from the upper lot to the lower lot, it's pretty ingenious because that was land that you really couldn't use for anything else. I'm just excited that we are finally getting a Fast and Furious ride that is actually fast and furious. No screens, no tunnels, no bad Musin parties. It is going to be high speed launches. This is built by Intamin, that also built the Velocicoaster, so they know how to build really thrilling rides. Other things that we know about it is that the cars, which are going to be able to spin 360 degrees to kind of create a drifting effect, are going to be fashioned to look like cars modeled, you know, featured in the films. And the queue area is going to be a large red brick style garage.
Sounds
very familiar. And that's what I wanted to talk about a little bit. You know, yes, you're right. This is the first high-speed coaster outdoors in Hollywood. They've got the little hippogriff, but that's a kiddie coaster. This definitely changes the game for Hollywood in terms of thrill rides. But it also brings to mind all these rumors that we are hearing about both Supercharged in Universal Studios Florida, maybe not reopening after its closure for Halloween, and that the Hollywood Rip Ride Rocket, strongly rumored to be decommissioned in 2025 and replaced with a new roller coaster. I like putting all those thoughts together and thinking, what if they had a roller coaster that came out of the existing Supercharged building and went, you know, around the back of the park and then followed the path of the old Hollywood Rip Ride Rocket? I would line up to ride that.
Yes. Or we're going to get a Minion overlay.
I just don't see, first of all, we certainly can't just slap a yellow banner on Hollywood Rip Ride Rocket, because if you put a child on that thing, you're going to traumatize them for life. I don't see any Minion theming meshing well with what Rip Ride Rocket is now.
I mean, it is intense. I am a thrill lover, and it's even a little bit too much for me.
It's brutal.
2 years. Yeah.
It's brutal. It's very hot, expensive to maintain. It's just not... for the number of people it serves an hour, it is a very expensive ride, and not all that popular. People get off it and complain that they are hurting. Yes. And sometimes they sue. So, yeah, I would not be sad to see the rumors of Rip Ride Rocket going away come true. And I think this would be a perfect replacement for it. But in the meantime, we can count on this one opening in Hollywood in 2026.
Yay.
All right. And then we are hopping over to Airbnb.
Yes.
Where if you are looking for a truly unique place to stay, Airbnb's Icons collection has some very unusual locations on offer. They have Carl's house from Up and the X-Men mansion from X-Men 97 for a few lucky people to get to stay in. These are obvious, you know, we've covered before people who do rental homes or Airbnbs that, you know, they're fans or whatever, and they put a lot of investment into making over a house, but this is professionally done, and this is not these look like CGI renderings or, you know, clips from a cartoon. They don't look like they're actual physical locations, but they are. We actually have video at the bottom of this article to prove that these are real places that a human being can walk around and not just not just AI art. But if you want to step into the world of the X-Men cartoons or Pixar's Up, you might have a chance if you apply to stay here through Airbnb's Icons program.
Yes. They do a lot of these really cool activations, you know, like they had, you could stay in Shrek's house, you can stay under the stars. I love when they do this, but this is really cool.
Let's make clear, this is a very limited, this is basically an advertisement, it's a promotion. This is not, don't plan your vacation around this, because you can't just book this directly like a regular Airbnb.
Right.
You'll notice that that the X-Men mansion, X-Men 97 mansion, is only $97 per guest. And staying in Carl's house from Up is free. That's because you can't just book it. What you have to do is request, and you kind of have to write a little letter explaining why you should be chosen, and then you get thrown into sort of a lottery, and a limited number of people are selected to take place in this. If you are interested, these are closing on basically midnight on May 14th, depending on what time zone you're in. If you're in the Eastern time zone, you have till 2:59 a.m. on May 14th to put in your request. But even if you don't want to apply to stay here, it's actually really fun to read the rental descriptions because they're written in first person of either Carl Fredrickson or Jubilee from the X-Men. So there's lots of little Easter eggs and references in there. It's definitely worth reading through if you're a fan of those things.
Definitely.
What I really want to know, though, is how much they are charging you for a cleaning fee, and then how many chores you have to do on top of having the cleaning fee. Like for the X-Men, do you have to like clean Beast's blue hair out of the bathroom drain? Or, you know, if you're Carl, do you have to blow the balloons back up if they start to play? You know, I want to know. Because every time I've stayed in an Airbnb lately, it's been like, oh, there's an extra $150 cleaning fee and you have to clean everything.
Yeah, so. I used to be huge at doing Airbnb, traveling everywhere internationally. The cleaning fees are exorbitant now that I'm just going to stay in a hotel.
Right. So you've got till May 14th if you want to apply. The odds, may they ever be in your favor, but I think they're pretty slim.
But of course, there's so many awesome themed Airbnbs that I see all the time on TikTok and whatnot. I just found the Harry Potter one in the Smoky Mountains.
Yep.
There's a lot you could do if you don't win this. All is not lost.
Keep in mind that neither of these are in vacation hotspots. Also, the X-Men one is at, you know, upstate New York, of course. And Carl is located in the middle of nowhere in New Mexico.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. All right. And we are going to wrap up the news in the queue by heading over to Disneyland Paris. And speaking of Carl's house from Up, it is getting added to Storybook Land, which is the charming boat ride past miniature scenes located in Fantasyland there at Disneyland Paris.
Yes, this is so cute. They have Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, the Little Mermaid. So I feel like it's only fitting that you'd have something from Up as part of it.
Storybook Land Canal Boats is seriously one of my favorite rides at Disneyland. Like, I can do that over and over again. It never gets old. And now the one in Disneyland is also not getting old because they are keeping it current. They recently announced that they were adding Frozen and Winnie the Pooh to the area. And now we learn they are also adding Carl's House. And it's really cute. It looks like we're going to see Carl and Doug and Kevin hiding nearby with the house lifting off with the balloons. What I'm curious about is if this is being added to a previously blank spot or if this is replacing one of the existing stories. Currently, they've got Snow White in there, Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Night on Bald Mountain. I love that it's one of the few Fantasia references in a Disney theme park ride, as well as Rapunzel's Tower from Tangled. Those are exclusive to the Disneyland Paris version. It's a little different experience than the one in California. Everything is slightly more scaled up. In Disneyland in California, you're kind of looking down at everything, and this everything is kind of raised up and a little scaled up, a little larger, but it's still really charming. It also doesn't have a live host on the boat. I believe the boats are just automated in Paris. But MEI, Mouse Fan Travel, will give you a free no obligation quote to help you get there. All right, that is going to wrap up our news in the queue. Before we get to this week's main attraction, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor.
The Attractions Podcast is brought to you by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Whether your next vacation is a magical trip to the theme parks, an exciting adventure to the pyramids of Egypt, or just a relaxing cruise on the turquoise waters of the Bahamas, MEI Travel provides premium service and expert advice to help you get the most of your vacation. They are always free of any hidden fees or costs to you. Visit them at mei-travel.com.
It's time for the main attraction!
And for this week's main attraction, we are heading to Universal Orlando, where once again, they've given us a huge dump of information, this time not about Epic Universe, but about their big summer, which is going to feature new shows, new parade, and a whole new land, all kicking off very, very soon, June 14th. The debut of the new Lagoon show. The Hogwarts Always show is going to debut on that same day, as well as DreamWorks. So June 14th is a day to mark on your calendar. And then come on back on July 3rd for the new parade. We are going to jump into all the details of all of that right now.
Yes. Just quickly before we get into it, I'm really trying to wrap my head around this summer because we also have Tiana opening and we haven't heard a peep from Disney when that's happening, but it looks like it's almost ready. So I wonder how I would love to be a fly on the wall with the conversations that, okay, we got this opening. When do we open Tiana? I mean, I love this kind of stuff and it's so fascinating.
So we don't have any official announcement for an opening date or even a press event for Tiana's. But I will say, I know some folks who are performers who get called into Disney when there's a big event to do, in particular, some Black performers. And they've been told to keep June 10th open. So I have a feeling we are almost going to be in like a Pandora and Volcano Bay type situation where, you know, where Disney and Universal both decide that they're going to do a huge media event, huge media opening basically the same day or the same week. And, you know, the average guest does not care whether something opens on the 10th or the 14th. They're planning their vacation around school schedules and work schedules and stuff, and they're going to come when they come. The only people who suffer when they do this are the hardcore, you know, diehard annual pass holders who are going to show up for anything. and us press people who have to figure out how to attend this and write about it and get it up before the next thing comes around.
Yes, so, it is going to be a battle royale.
Won't anyone think of the journalists, darn it?
Yeah, I love this kind of stuff because it really is seeming like it's happening the same week.
I know I'm, you know, my life is consumed by the Orlando Fringe Festival for the next few weeks through Memorial Day weekend. And I'm going to have about half a week to breathe before I have to get back into all this. So let's run down. Let's start with the new Lagoon show debuting on June 14th called Cinesational, a Symphonic Spectacular. And, you know, we've had Cinespectacular, Cinespec. We've had Cinematic Spectacular. Mm-hmm. We had Cinesphere. We've had so many Cine whatever Lagoon shows over the years at Universal, but they are promising that this is the biggest and best ever because it is going to feature 228 fountains. I believe that's an upgrade over the former fountain show.
And our favorite thing ever, right? What's in
and 600 drones. Yes, folks. For the first time in a major Orlando theme park regular show, we are going to have drones. We've watched jealously as parks all over the world have had them, and now we get our turn. There will also be fireworks in this show, but count on those drones and fountains doing the heavy lifting because Universal has neighbors who live just like on the other side of the property line, and they don't like big fireworks. They will get lots of music, and I'm sure they're going to be hearing these musical scores in their backyard. The show is going to be an orchestral style original composition with a custom theme, and then weaving together iconic musical scores from movies that inspired both past, present, and future Universal attractions. We've got the classics like Back to the Future and E.T. We've got Harry Potter in there, Fast and the Furious, Ghostbusters, Jaws, Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, King Kong, The Mummy, The Minions, and the other Universal classic monsters. And they're even getting the Trolls and Super Mario Brothers in there, along with some other old favorites. Michael Aiello, Senior Director of Entertainment, is helping put this together. He worked on their previous Lagoon shows as well as Halloween Horror Nights.
And he's a great follow if you don't follow him already on X because he explains a lot of things.
Yeah, I don't usually advocate using X anymore, but follow him on X.
Yes.
yeah, I know he's been working real hard on this. We had an old Lagoon show that ended in March 2023, which was pretty good. But it kind of, the old Lagoon show would like pick one franchise and kind of like do that one franchise and then stop and then move on to another bit. I think that this is going to kind of weave and tie all these different characters and scores together in a more fluid and organic way.
That's kind of like what we see, you know, like in the Pixar fireworks we were just talking about, or your Magic Kingdom fireworks. It's kind of a whole bunch of characters coming together with themes and whatnot, but it sounds great. I mean, what a summer for classic Universal fans who grew up going in the 90s.
Future
and all that, so it's exciting.
Yeah, Universal is doing a lot of merchandise right now. That's kind of, it's, 1999 is the year that Islands Adventure opened 25 years ago. So they've got a lot of throwback IOA merchandise. It looks like the Halloween merch coming up has a kind of 90s punk feel. Mm-hmm. So they are definitely leaning into 90s nostalgia. And if we hop over to Islands of Adventure, also starting on June 14th, the same night. So not sure if it will be possible to see both of them, have to hustle if you want to see both of them in one night. But Hogwarts Always is the new nighttime projection show on Hogwarts Castle using projection mapping. It's replacing the nighttime lights on Hogwarts Castle, which was the original projection show. That dates back, it's very similar to what they did for the grand opening. And they used a similar one out in the grand opening for California. And it's been running for a long time. That one's been retired. This new show is very similar, but it highlights the four houses of Hogwarts. It gives you kind of an overview of a year at Hogwarts. starting with shopping at Diagon Alley for your school supplies and then taking the Hogwarts Express train all the way through the House Cup winner. And they're going to perform it multiple times each night. And each time it will rotate through one of four unique endings. So if you're a Hufflepuff, I guess you'll have to hang around until they finally give you the credit you're due. We know we're also always talking about Gryffindors and Slytherins and Ravenclaws. Hufflepuffs need more love.
What are you?
Oh, I the Sorting Hat just rejected me entirely. He said, said we're not accepting your application.
You're a Hogwarts dropout.
Yeah, exactly. Beauty school dropout. And also happening on June 14th, DreamWorks Land, the replacement for Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone, is finally going to let folks inside. Though we're hearing that there's going to be some previews, at least for annual pass holders, in the weeks leading up to that. This is where you're going to play with all your favorite DreamWorks characters. There's a Shrek meet and greet, Swamp. The Troller Coaster is what's become of the old Woody Woodpecker coaster. And Curious George's play area has been turned into a Kung Fu Panda training camp where you will get to meet Po. They've also got a brand new DreamWorks Imagination Celebration dance party. Looks like that's taking place in what used to be the Barney Theater. They're even going to be selling special bubble wands that will interact with things in the land and also with the parade.
Yes, and I can't wait to get a Shrekzel, which is a Shrek.
A Shrek pretzel, yes. Genius, genius.
So good, so good.
Speaking of the parade, Universal's Mega Movie Parade kicks off on July 3rd. I kind of like the title because it is a little shout out to the old How to Make a Mega Movie deal, which was a short-lived attraction from the 90s. This, like you mentioned, is definitely leaning into 90s nostalgia. We're starting off with Back to the Future. They've restored an Ecto-1 car for the Ghostbusters float, which is going to feature a 16-foot tall Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Wow.
There's going to be an E.T. float, Jaws, Kung Fu Panda, Minions, Sing, Trolls, and the big finale is a giant Jurassic World float that has a ginormous T-Rex on it. I'm curious if this is the same float that they had in Japan, or a similar float that there was a parade that ran for a while in Japan that was just amazing, and I wouldn't complain if they were reusing some elements of that.
Yeah, I mean, this sounds amazing. I think also in the press release, they included there's going to be like a marching band playing
yes,
the dog theme song.
Yes, yes, the marching band drum line playing.
Yes.
Yes. This is going to be a fun one. It's going to run daily. And I love that this is, you know, Universal, with the exception of their holiday parade, which is absolutely spectacular. Universal's daytime parades have never lived up to the scope and scale of Disney's daytime parades. Like the old Superstar parade had what, four floats in it?
Yeah.
You know, this 13 full-size floats and over 100 performers. And I am just so happy to see that because there have been a lot of budget cuts in Universal's entertainment department lately. Shout out to Cabby, who used to be at the front of the park. I believe May the 4th was Cabby's last day. You know, we've lost a lot of atmosphere and those kind of small shows. This is definitely something that one draws crowds away from the rides and brings them out into the streets. So if you don't want to see the parade, go hit up the big attractions that time. But more importantly for me, it gives a lot of entertainment folks a job to do while we're waiting a year for Epic Universe to be up to full speed. So I'm very excited to see that.
Yeah, this looks great.
Speaking of Epic Universe, we've got lots more updates about that on our website, as well as a look back at Universal history, some of our past parade floats, our past lagoon shows, and some of those past attractions, including Jaws, that are inspiring this new 90s nostalgia summer. So if you are excited as we are for all this, give a call over to MEI and they will hook you up with a plan to visit Universal and experience all of this kicking off starting June 14th. I'm very excited.
So exciting. I'm hyped. I love the 90s throwback. So I am so ready.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've always, there is a line in The Matrix, the original Matrix, where I believe Agent Smith tells Neo that human civilization peaked in the late 1990s. And I'm not seeing a lot of reasons to disagree.
Yeah.
So, I feel you. Yeah. So let's just hop into the chat and see some of the comments that were left for us. TV Talks, it's for their first time tuning in. Yeah. Thank you for joining us. And yes, we're excited to celebrate both May the 4th and Revenge of the 5th. and Brian Sager says that the Super Nintendo World coming to Epic Universe was the worst kept secret, even though it was originally announced in February 2023. And they're very proud of the fact that there are zero screens in the Donkey Kong coaster. Yes, there will be screens in the rest of the park. Some of the rides will be using like screens as set extensions and backdrops. But as far as I know, other than the augmented reality helmets for Mario Kart, there are no 3D rides in the park and nothing that is just a simulator, nothing just sitting in a shaking seat in front of a screen like the Jimmy Fallon ride.
Right.
Speaking of which, Jimmy Fallon, I believe, was at Universal this weekend. I saw some pictures of him outside his ride.
Did you also see Mariah Carey on Hagrid's?
I did. Mariah Carey. And who gets to sit next to Mariah Carey on Hagrid's? Not her children. Stylist. Her hairstylist. Yes. Priorities. Because like as soon as they hit a break block, she was like combing it out.
It's the best photo. I was for sure this is not
hilarious.
Real. It is real.
Hilarious. Yes. And did you notice they got to go around twice?
Yes.
Because she did once on the motorbike and once in the side.
Yes.
Yep. Michael Bingham is very pumped about Super Nintendo World and even more stoked about Nintendo Country, but his mom is very excited about Yoshi Adventure.
Too.
Vince Lamb, hi Vince, checking in to say happy Revenge of the 6th. And so we have like three, is it the May the 4th, May the 5th, May the 6th? It's just Star Wars week, you know?
There's a lot.
It just goes on forever, right? Tyler Fratis saying that the first Despicable Me movie does have a roller coaster in it. Yes, absolutely. But I don't think any of the target audience for that movie should be riding on anything as violent as Rip Ride Rocket. Michael Bingham again is going to be there on the 14th with the rest of us. Looking forward to that Lagoon show, as well as the DreamWorks Land and the parade coming later in July.
Yeah.
And he says, Slytherin for the win. I'm glad you appreciate my Grease reference. And Vince Lamb says that Agent Smith also called humans a virus. And he doesn't know if you want to listen to him. Yeah, maybe he's not supposed to be the voice of reason. But and last but not least, Cindy Bingham, checking in to say hello. Hi, Cindy. Hope you had a great day. Thanks for listening to us. Thank you to all of you out there. Please, for giving us a like, give us a subscribe, leave us a comment, whatever platform you are listening to us or watching us on. Before we go, one last shout out to our sponsors, MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Thank you so much. And please be sure to follow us at attractionsmagazine.com or search for Attractions Magazine on your favorite social media platform. Carly, where can folks find you?
Yeah, I am on Instagram at Adventures by Carly and on X at Carly Caramana.
And I am at Eskuberski and at The Unofficial Guides on all major platforms, as well as you can head over to theunofficialguides.com to pick up copies of my books. And until next week, we hope that you folks stay safe, try something new, but most importantly, have fun. We will see you all again next time.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.